I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, you can just tell the president's having a good time. He's enjoying himself. He's having fun. And it's such a contrast to Kamala Harris. And the enthusiasm at these rallies, just like I told my friend Dana Perino yesterday on her podcast, please download it, Perino on Politics, and listen to it. And so she knows that I'm a guest with lots of fans. Please do that for me. And I said that. I said the rallies, PA, the enthusiasm, the momentum, it's there. It's 2016. I agree. It's 2016 on steroids. I really do. So nice to welcome back to the show, Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, 2024 Campaign Executive Director, Veterans for Trump, and an ambassador at the America First Policy Institute. You can follow her, and you should, at Jesse Jane Duff. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good afternoon. It's exciting to be here. It's always fun to talk about anything Trump.
Well, we're happy to have you. Let's talk about it. He was in Pennsylvania yesterday, as you know. He's down in Georgia today. He's talking about bringing American jobs back. But he also mentioned the Afghanistan withdrawal today. I know that's very near and dear to your heart. He talked about that, leaving all of our munitions behind. I saw a story the other day. The Taliban is cracking down on women's rights again in Afghanistan. And Joe Biden's at NATO right now, or the United Nations, I should say, mumbling about ending the war on terror. So give us your thoughts on all that.
Well, you know, single-handedly, the Harris-Biden administration has funneled the war on terror by ensuring that Iran was not cut off. They have sent billions of dollars back to Iran, and that enabled the Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah to start their rampant attacks against Israel. And when we really think about it, they enabled the Taliban by leaving excessive amounts of gear, billions of dollars in gear, and that the Taliban just recently, on the anniversary of the beginning of the withdrawal, decided to put on a parade to show the world what they confiscated from the American taxpayers, essentially. So they have done nothing to ensure a greater peaceful world. They have essentially enabled every active terrorist group to feel emboldened and empowered to create chaos and havoc upon not just Americans, but our allies also.
I also think, too, there's a real sense of frustration among the American people right now with this war in Ukraine. I mean, Zelensky's in Pennsylvania yesterday with the governor, and he's taking shots at J.D. Vance. He's taking shots at Trump. I think a lot of people are getting very frustrated right now with this situation. And Trump has said he's going to end things. And, you know, this idea that Putin would want Trump back in office. Why the hell would Putin want Trump back in office, considering Putin's making a ton of money on this war? And also, right, Biden put in a liquid natural gas export ban, which is benefiting Vladimir Putin.
You know, when you really know, when you really understand the geopolitical landscape, nobody wants President Trump back in if they can't profit off of more war.
Yeah.
That's really what it boils down to. And for Zelensky, like, what is Kamala Harris and her team thinking by having Zelensky show up in Pennsylvania on her campaign day? It gives, first of all, I dare to say that this is against all campaign finance laws for them to be utilizing American aircraft to fly him over here to sign weapons that were going to get dropped on Russia. It's quite obvious this was a political move. And then for him to even utter the words Vance or Trump out of his mouth as if his endorsement of Kamala Harris had some relevance, I don't think this is the win she thinks it is. Like, come on. This is more or less like her endorsement by the IRS or her endorsement of the 700 and plus former Intel DOD yeah. officials that all have been aligned with either the Hunter Biden laptop or who are aligned with enabling the Ukraine so that they can profit. All the profiteers, the establishment, have endorsed her. I'm sorry, Zelensky's endorsement of you is equivalent to Dick Cheney endorsing you. More war. This should be screaming at everybody that they like the war. They're benefiting off the war. They're profiting off of the war. They're not trying to end anything. The only people in Pennsylvania that are probably going to vote for her now are the people at that munitions depot, because they seem to, if they're not being honest with themselves, they seem to just think that that's the only way they're going to keep their job. That's not true. We're going to always keep those companies in empowered because we need to have a stronger military, but our military resources and tax dollars shouldn't be getting sent overseas to enable somebody else's combatant activity that literally has now become the new endless war.
Boom. I love you. That was fantastic. Bravo. Matt DeSantis, get that. Snip that. We got to. That's everybody needs to hear what Jesse Jane Duff just said right there. You're 100% right. You're so spot on with that. It is the war industrial complex making money off this. Those 741 swamp creatures and Cheney and Zelensky and Shapiro signing weapons. I mean, you're right. It's you said it all. So I don't need to say it again because you just nailed it. So thank you for that. Well done. Well done.
Well, you know what's also on that list? Spouses of former military. What is that? I'm sorry. I don't care about what your spouse, you know, your wife or husband has to say about your husband or wife's expertise. That's irrelevant. And no disrespect to my fellow enlisted, but they have like a retired master sergeant on there. I don't care. Like, honestly. And then you got 14 generals that are on there. And I want to trace back exactly, or maybe it was 17 general officers, one of the two. No different. I want to trace exactly who they work for, because if they're anything like the current Defense Department Secretary of Defense, who is also a general, Secretary Lloyd Austin, General Austin, who had $1.5 million of unvested stock with Raytheon when he got confirmed for the DOD position. And Elizabeth Warren barely pushed back on him, but yet she had forcibly pushed back on Trump's nominations, and he was not required to vest them. And he stated during his testimony that he would remove himself from any decision making with Raytheon to ensure that there wasn't a perception of impropriety. How about you cash out your stock and walk away? Because instead, every time I see one of these Ukrainian deals go, look at who's profiting off of it. Raytheon. So he essentially will never give up that office. That's why nobody resigned out of their positions at the Pentagon, because he's going to walk out of there probably a billionaire. That 1.5 has probably now turned into more money than you and I could ever fathom for the rest of our lives, let alone our children and grandchildren's cousins and distant relatives that are still in the old country. Like, here we are. We have a secretary that I have never heard has vested that stock, and it should have been the first thing out of his mouth when he walked into the Pentagon. I have vested my stock. So I'm dared to assume that he has not. And Raytheon is one of the biggest profiteers off of this. I'm not faulting Raytheon for having the best, some of the best weapon systems, nor Lockheed Martin, none of them. That we need the best. But at some point, you have to understand who is profiting, and are they profiting by having us in war, or are they profiting to make sure that we're ready for war? There's a clear difference here.
Yeah, that was awesome, too. DeSantis grabbed that, too. That was also awesome. Bam! You brought the thunder today, Jesse Jane Duff. You're on fire.
Well, there's very few things I'm good at, but this is the one thing I'm good at. So you're getting the best of Jesse. But when it's time to go get home repair or housekeeping tips or, you know, baking a cake, I might not be so skilled at it. So, you got my one talent, you know, so we're good.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I can't do anything in my house. I can't even hang a picture. Like, my wife literally hired someone to hang pictures. That's how bad I am at it. So don't feel bad. All right, let's see if we can do the trifecta. Talk to me about the assassination investigations into Trump. And do you think they're going to try again?
So, being on the campaign, I don't run around and start making any assessment just because I feel a certain way. I hear people that are on some of the mainstream media that will come out. They're very big names, you know, and they'll say, this is clear that it was an inside job, or it's clear that they want to assassinate. What I can say very confidently, and this is me talking, not anything the campaign's told me to say or not say, that President Trump is unlike any other candidate that they've ever had. Any. I can also confidently say that the Secret Service was not capable, based upon the numbers that they normally have had with normal presidential candidates, whatever normal is, but because President Trump has surpassed that like ages ago and has never really addressed that they needed to step up their game a long time ago. I'm very confident that they had done this status quo. Well, this is what we normally do, because you heard a lot of pushback on that. Well, a sitting president qualifies for this type of, you know, care, and a former president qualifies for this. This is not a normal former president. We can all agree to that. Number one, he is out there at a level that we've never seen. John Kerry, George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama even never had the campaigning that this man has at the level and the pace that he has. And no, the Secret Service would not keep up with their archaic and outdated methods that were okay for other candidates. And I think we can all agree upon that. The reason I would never say it's an inside job is because I've lived in Washington, D.C. for over 10 years, a long time. And the one thing I do know about this city is they can't keep a secret. We all knew that Hillary Clinton had staged the Russian dossier before it ever even got confirmed by the Department of Justice and William Burr's investigation. Mm-hmm. We knew this. We knew this. It only took him to investigate and verify it. But it got leaked that too many people, what is it, Mike Assayas, her attorney, went to the FBI, and he never said that he represented her or the campaign. He said he had this dossier. He validated it as proof. The FBI was very shabby about verifying it. In fact, there were people at the FBI that said this is BS, this isn't qualifying, and other people at the FBI that were more than happy, and we know who those were, like the Peter Strozaks and all of those guys. I don't think he was at FBI, he was at DOJ. But regardless, the people like that, who really had their own agenda, that were more than happy to take that and run it up the chain and go to a FISA court that has never been bamboozled to that level, which they were, and they approved it and signed off, and they ended up putting surveillance on the entire Trump campaign. Now, mind you, we knew there was an electronic surveillance on President Trump's campaign while he campaigned, because he told the world. He had an NSA leak, an admiral who worked there, who took him aside and said, get out of Trump Tower. You need to go to Jersey because they're surveilling you. So my point is, to me, to suggest there is actually somebody in the Secret Service who has staged this and has a coordinated effect, impact, where there's a multitude. If it's more than one person, then it would leak, because nobody can keep a secret in D.C. We knew everything about what happened to President Trump before it ever even got verified. In this particular case, there would have been a leak. Was it shabby? Was it ill-prepared? Absolutely. And they got away with being pretty much a lackluster organization. We know that they had substitute agents that came in from what was it, DHS, who had mediocre training. We know that. We know that there were people that were not appropriate to be on the detail. We could point a million fingers, and we know right now that many of these people have been pushed out because of, as a result of this, for their shabby, shabby service. But for me and my name and my reputation to come out and try to say unequivocally that this is an inside job and it was staged by the Secret Service, I think would be very grossly irresponsible.
Oh, and because, I did not ask you to say that, just for the record.
I know. But you know, we have a lot of conservatives that still believe that there were no airplanes that hit the Pentagon. Well, when, in fact, I have veteran friends who saw the wreckage of the plane in the Pentagon. Okay.
No, I really meant was, you know, when I say they try to do it again, I mean, there are crazy people who are inspired by the rhetoric of the left.
There are crazy people out there. And here's the other thing.
Hear them say Trump is Hitler, and that's what I was really getting at. These lunatics out there. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so this guy, Roof, what's his last name? Roof.
Ralph.
Ralph. Yeah. So apparently he was on their watch list, and people are screaming, you know, they ignored him. He was on his watch list. And I'm going to give an example that one of the J6 attorneys gave on Twitter, which I thought was very good. He says, let's say 1% of our population is crazy. You've got 330,000 crazy people. Guess what? You only have 11,000 FBI agents. It's literally impossible to surveil every last one of them. They have to really prioritize based upon the resources that they have. So you are going to have crazy people figure out a way to go undetected. However, the beauty of it is that the Secret Service did spot them, did catch them, and basically, I would dare to say right now, had that been an inside job, the Secret Service wouldn't have gone that far. So here we are back again. Will they, as in crazies, try again? I think at the level this is, when with the DOJ put out that $150,000 bounty on his head, I thought that was grossly irresponsible.
Yeah.
I thought that was negligent. I thought that was something that there has to be heads rolling. I cannot believe what this current administration gets away with, from endorsing Zelensky to come out there and campaign on their behalf. The Hatch Act continually being broken by Pete Buttigieg, who politicizes from his Twitter account, you know, in his official duties, to Mayorkas, who should have been impeached by now for literally lying to Congress, but not, to right now Blinken is up to getting criticized and being held to also potential impeachment for things that he has done. Time and time again, they've done faulty things, and we have our hands tied because we don't have a majority in the Senate to remove anybody. We only have a bare minimum majority in the Congress. So we're hanging on by a thread, and yet conservatives are mad at Mike Johnson when, in fact, they should be mad at some of their representatives who are not helping pass the agendas that we need, because one man cannot do it alone. That is for sure.
All right, last question for you, Jesse Jane Duff. And you, this is like A-plus today. I mean, I'm so, you got to come back. You need to be on the show once a week. How badass is it that Trump is going back to Butler?
So that, for me, is just the exemplary demonstration of a leader. Because a leader will not do anything, ask you to do anything they would not do themselves. And they know how to motivate and inspire you to do things that you would not normally do. When he stands up after being shot, when he gets right back out and says, I want to finish my golf game after the attempted assassination, when he gets immediately back on the campaign trail, he is telling Americans, you have no excuse not to register to vote. You have no excuse to not show up and vote. You have no excuse to let this country crumble beneath you because you have decided to not practice your God-given right to vote. You have no excuse. And I would compare it to that of the men who went on Normandy and were invading the beaches. The first round of men knew they would die. The second round knew they would die. And yet they still went because they believed that what they were doing wasn't what they wanted to do, but what they needed to do. President Trump does not probably even want to. He knows he needs to, because he has been given and afforded the grace of God to have this impact upon a nation that needs true leadership. One thing that I know is that God does not pick perfect people. He perfects those he picks. There is no doubt in my mind that he was set a long time ago to have the platform to do what he is doing today. It is not by accident that he is here today. He has the prowess, he has the world respect, he has the financial chops, and he has the ability to confidently show up where he needs to show up, when he needs to show up, and face every one of these demons. In fact, get jailed for us and have a mugshot taken and show up in a courtroom where a judge who is besmirching him and telling him that he can never even speak about his daughter, who is aligned with campaign financing on the other side, and try to suppress his freedom of speech. He has stood his ground and said, bring it on. You will not intimidate me. You will not fear, make me afraid. You have tried to bankrupt me. You have tried to remove me from the ballots. You have now seen your enemies try to shoot me. I am still here. I am still standing. So, America, if you want to save your country, it is up to you to step up and do it. He is leading by example beyond any example any of us would have ever dreamed just 4 years ago. Just 4 years ago, we could have seen him drift off and go to a golf course. But he said, no, I'm going to take this bull by the horns. I'm going to let them bite me, scratch me, claw my eyes out and try to kill me. But I will not go down. And when he stood up after he was shot, what was the words out of his mouth? Fight. Fight, fight, because I believe in the back of his mind, he was thinking, they're going to kill me, and I need these people to still believe in themselves to carry on.
Boom. Well said. Well said. Bravo. Bravo. Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps. Thank you for your service, my friend. Thank you for being in the fight. 2024 Campaign Executive Director, Veterans for Trump, Ambassador at the America First Policy Institute. Follow her at Jesse Jane Duff. You know it's going to be a good follow. That's for damn sure. Thank you, my friend.
Everybody take the hill. We only have, less than 6 weeks to go, so we're no longer jogging. We are now sprinting, and everybody who wants to volunteer in Pennsylvania, make sure you sign up at Trump. TrumpForce47.com. TrumpForce47.com. That will allow you to volunteer for the campaign. You can ensure that you are poll watchers. You can get passive voters. You can get engaged. Everybody can volunteer, and we can turn this around.
Come back next week, okay?
Thank you. Anytime. You invite me, I'll be there.
All right. Thank you, Jesse Jane Duff.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
She was on fire. Brought the thunder. I like it. I like it a lot. I like the fact that you're making requests on YouTube, too. I've been monitoring the chat a little bit. And next week, our goal is to be able to get the guests on Zoom as much as we can, too, so you can see the guests as well, because, you know, more and more podcasts are doing that. Like, I did that with Dana's podcast, so it's video and audio. We want to be able to do that a lot. That's what one of the things we want to do. Right, DeSantis? That's one of our goals? Matt DeSancta Traitorous?
You still there? That. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, take a drink. Hang on.
I'm watching you take the drink on YouTube.
Refreshing. Delicious. And just water. Or is it? No, truly, I've had a migraine for 3 days now, and it finally is kind of clearing up, finally. But, man, migraines are the worst. I get them every fall. I get one a year, and it was so bad last year. I had to go to the, I had it for, 5 days, I think, and I had to go to the ER and get them to pump me with magnesium and all kinds of stuff to get rid of it. I couldn't get rid of it, but even the prescription stuff. But luckily, this one is not too bad, only 3 days. But I'm just saying, been at work both days, just pointing that out. Pat me on the back, you know. That's all I'm looking for. Just a little pat on the back. Yay.
Can we expect to see you on Friday?
Yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. No, yes, 100%. I told you there's no more Fridays off from now until Election Day. None. None. Oh, and don't forget, October 11th, we're live at the Grand Hotel at Cape May for our next live show. So that's going to be fun. I hear Henry's coming in your place. Is that true?
I don't know that. That it may be true. Hopefully someone's there in my place.
I hope someone is. Well, the Zioli Army took a vote and Henry beat you. So I think that's what the crowd wants.
Yeah, I mean, Henry is beloved. No one can deny that. I can't compete
he's
with
fear.
Henry.
It's not
he's
beloved. Got the mullet. He's terrified. People are terrified of him. That's really what it comes down to, don't you think?
I can't compete with the mullet. People love mullets.
That's true. Well, you'd look good with a mullet, Matt. I'm telling you. You'd look good. The first guy from Harvard with a mullet. A Harvard degree and a mullet. It'd be... They'd have to make a movie about you, and David Spade would have to play you. So
I feel like they'd tear up my diploma.
Probably. Yeah, they might. They might ask for it back. All right, Scott Pressler is going to join us next. He's flipping counties in Pennsylvania from blue to red. He's doing God's work, that's for damn sure. I mean, the guy, talk about putting your money where your mouth is, moved to Pennsylvania so that he can literally flip Pennsylvania. The guy's working so hard. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big day for us today. Jesse Jane Duff crushed it, and seeing the reaction on Twitter, really great stuff here. Please keep the comments going. Thank you. I appreciate you tweeting along, at Rich Zioli. I will say, person of interest making a music request. He said, based on Trump coming back to Butler, he's very surprised and disappointed we haven't played American Badass by Kid Rock. Well, we can add it to the rotation. You can make your request to Justin.
Your
request as well to on our YouTube chat. See that? That's how we roll, baby. It's how we roll. We're trying to make you happy. Drive home is brutal. Try to make you happy, right? That's what we're trying to do here. It's all about your entertainment and your information. And one guy who's making us very, very happy with his hard work is my man, Scott Pressler. Dude, you are killing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me back.
Scott, I'm telling you, man, we hung out in Cape May together, and that was a blast, and that was fun. First of all, you're a giant. That's number one. You're tall. But you're a giant in terms of what you're accomplishing in Pennsylvania, too. You just flipped another county. You're flipping counties, man. This is huge.
Thank you. Well, last year in 2023, we flipped Beaver County from blue to red. earlier this year, we flipped Bucks County outside of Philadelphia from blue to red. And yesterday, we made history by flipping Luzerne County in northeast Pennsylvania from blue to a plurality of registered Republicans.
That's amazing stuff. So when you say you flip it, it means you're getting more registered Republicans versus Democrat registrations. That's the definition so everybody understands, right?
Exactly. Well, and the story really, there's more to it. So, for example, this is including active plus inactive data. And what that really means is inactive voters are people that haven't voted for a while. So technically, all three of those counties, we flipped them months ago, but because inactive voters, when they go to vote, you know, they can still have the opportunity. But for example, Bucks County, which is plus 2,000 inactive plus inactive, if you remove inactive voters, it's really in Bucks County plus 6,000 for Republicans. And so we are just planning to make sure that we win this November, too big to rig.
How are you doing the registration, Scott Presso? Tell us about the method.
There's no magic to it, Rich. All we do is we meet voters where they are. And I have a call to action for everybody listening right now. Listen, we have 28 days to register people to vote. The last day to register is October 21st. So print off Pennsylvania voter registration applications and bring them to your gun store. 30% of Pennsylvania hunters are not registered to vote. Print off voter registration forms and bring them to your fraternity house nearby or sorority house. Print off forms and bring them to your American Legion, your VFW. Go set up a table outside of a post office like we have done successfully in Pike County. We registered 60 voters in 2 days by setting up a Trump table in a small town in Pike County. There's no magic, guys. All we got to do is meet voters where they are, and you'll see success.
Hunters, what are you doing? Wake the hell up. Kamala Harris is coming for your guns. I don't care what she says about being a gun owner, which I don't believe. She said mandatory buyback. That's confiscation, Scott Pressler.
Well, the only gun owner Kamala is probably from taking guns from somebody else. Then she owns them. But honestly, guys, 930,000 hunters in Pennsylvania, 30% are not registered to vote. And so at Early Vote Action, my organization, we're advertising to 16,000 FFLs. We're visiting gun stores and even putting up signs in their shop that says 30% of Pennsylvania hunters are not registered to vote. Hunt or be hunted. Vote or be hunted. And I know that sounds a little hyperbolic, but I really don't think it is after experiencing COVID and after experiencing those knocks on the doors to make sure that you had received the vaccination. There is nothing that doesn't show us from past performance that Kamala wouldn't be an authoritarian, dictatorial person.
Yeah, and so now when we get them registered, Scott, and I know you are definitely thinking about this, how do we then convert them into a vote and make sure that it's not just a registered voter, but it's an active voter?
Well, I ask voters, I say, where will you be in November? Are you going to be in town? What is your work schedule? You know, do you work a 12-hour day as a doctor, as a firefighter, police officer, whatever? If there's any indication that someone is unsure that they will be able to vote on Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day, then I get them to sign up for a mail-in ballot, or I encourage them to do early voting. So early voting is actually going on right now at this very second. Montgomery County, Philadelphia, Wyoming, Berks County, Schuylkill. You can tomorrow go to your Bureau of Elections and vote an in-person mail-in ballot. So that way you don't even have to request a mail-in ballot. You don't have to put it in the U.S. Postal Service. You don't have to put it into a Dropbox. You can literally go in person to your BOE and those counties that I mentioned and vote an in-person mail-in ballot. And so we are educating these voting groups that are maybe low propensity, or even like our beautiful Amish. Because the Amish get married on Tuesdays in November, get this, Republicans are out registering Democrats and mail-in ballots in Mifflin County and Huntington County. Those are two Amish counties within Pennsylvania, and it shows me that our education, our mobilization are producing real, tangible results. And by October 16th, Rich, all 67 counties across this great commonwealth should have the opportunity for people to vote early mail-in ballots at your local Bureau of Elections.
Good. I think that's important. And then also, too, then it gives the RNC and the Trump campaign, they know you already voted. They don't have to worry about contacting you. They can move on to somebody else. So I agree. Look, if you have the opportunity to do it, do it. Do it early and get it done and get it over with. Because, and I like your point, too, about you don't have to worry about putting it in the mail. It gets lost in the mail or, you know, something happens. You can go in person and just do it and get it done. I think it's very important, Scott Pressler. I really, really do. And the Amish, I saw you tweeted this the other day, and I retweeted that you've been hearing from the Amish. They'd love to have Trump do a rally on a Sunday, right?
Saturday.
A Saturday, yes. Excuse me. A Saturday.
Yes. I spoke with the Amish because we've been doing a lot of education in Lancaster and in Armstrong, Indiana, all over the state. But I spoke to an Amish man that really was begging for President Trump to come to the area. And he said, you know, they work on the weekday, so Saturday would be a great time. We can advertise in the local newspaper there in Lancaster. But think about it. Every Amish value really is in congruence with the Republican Party. School choice, family values, religious freedom, no coerced vaccinations. We support farmers. We support dairy. We support raw milk. We support the opportunity for you to grow what you want on your land and put into your body what you choose to put into your body. And so we are really courting those 90,000 Amish votes in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And when you look at that, 2020 was decided by 80,000 votes in PA, and that Wisconsin was decided by 20,000 votes, and there are 20,000 Amish in that state. It very well could be this community that saves our great country.
And there's been a war on these Amish farmers. I mean, Josh Shapiro raiding their farms and confiscating their raw yes. milk and going after the raw cheese. I mean, what the hell's going on here with that? Leave these guys alone, you know?
So it just shows you there are more of us conservative, freedom-fighting, constitutional-loving people, but the Democrats are just better about getting their people out to vote. And so I beg, I plead, I encourage you. I need everybody, after you're done listening to the Rich Scioli Show, you check your voter registration status today. Please type into the internet, Pennsylvania, check voter status. And you want to make sure you're an active voter registered at your current address with your preferred party. Because I've heard from many people that have even voted this year that when they went to check their status, either it was wrong, it was an old address, or they couldn't even find their voting record. So please don't wait until November 5th, showing up on Election Day, only to be told, oh, I'm so sorry, Rich. I don't have any record of you. You need to vote a provisional ballot, which, by the way, isn't really going to count for you because you're not even registered in the system. So check your voter status today.
Early vote action, that's where you go. Earlyvoteaction.com and follow Scott on X at Scott Pressler. Man, you are doing God's work, buddy. I really appreciate it. We all appreciate it. We really do. You moved to Pennsylvania. You're fighting the good fight. There's just nobody like you, man. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Keep up the hard work. You're inspiring us, and we're gonna answer the call. I promise.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So as we move along here, okay, I got to get to this wacky story about this Olivia Nuzzi. What a whack job this woman is, if this is true anyway. Oof. Man, so I'll get into this with you. RFK and this writer for New York Mag, I think New York Magazine, right, Matt? Is that where she wrote for? She's now out of a job, yeah. Or she's on
suspended.
Leave.
Suspended.
Yeah. This is rabbits in the stew kind of stuff. You know what I mean? This is the boiling bunny on the... What I made you during the break is go get a bunny and boil it live on YouTube just to show you what I mean by this woman, because she's that crazy. So let me do that during the break. We got bunnies in the backyard. I'll go run out and grab one real quick and boil some water. Put some salt in the water first before you boil it, obviously. What? We'll have rabbit for dinner. What?
I grew up eating rabbit.
Why?
We don't endorse bunny boiling on the Rich Zeoli show.
Do you think the bunny boiling would be frowned upon on the stream?
I'm pretty sure we will have the video ripped down. We've had it ripped down for less.
That's true. I know. I got one of my videos blocked on TikTok because Eric Trump was talking about election interference, and they took it down. And I got a warning. It's like, ooh, scary. Scary censors, censorati. So if I boil a freaking bunny to make a point, I'm not going to just let it go to waste. My grandma used to make bunny. I lived on rabbit. That's what we'd have for Easter. We'd have rabbit. It was peasant food. Peasant food, baby. Now it's like $30 at a restaurant in Philly for like a little rabbit leg, you know, like rabbit corn.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fee, give me a freaking break. Dom should do that question tomorrow. Borowski's listening, or Henry. Is it confit or confit? I say confit. Rabbit confit.
That is definitely not right.
I don't care. I'm saying it anyway. I want my duck confit. Yous better get me some duck confit. What am I doing here? I got to do Cherry Hill Volvo. So Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, our studio sponsor. We love Cherry Hill Volvo, and they have some amazing deals right now for you, back-to-school deals. So I was just hanging with my buddy Judith Krupnik last week. She got honored the Pillar of the Community Award from the ZOA chapter of Philadelphia, and she is a true pillar of the community, a great person. And right now at Cherry Hill Volvo, they have amazing back-to-school specials. So, you know, the Zioli family car is the XC90. I love it. It's a great third-row SUV. There's a story recently, the death of the minivan. Good. Let it die. Good riddance. You don't want to drive a minivan. What you want is the XC90. It's a great car, but you may want a smaller car, but you may want a sedan, the S-Class, made right here at their plant in South Carolina. Well, guess what? You can get a lease, a 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month. That's an amazing lease opportunity. I drove the S60. It is fast. It's stylish. All the latest technology. It'll keep you safe. It's got everything you can imagine as far as safety goes. Or you can also do a lease on the electric C40, and that's only $369 a month as well. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. And the entire team at Cherry Hill Volvo is dedicated to making sure you have the luxury experience you deserve. And that's why customers at Cherry Hill Volvo become customers for life, including the Zioli family. I used to have the X60. Now I have the XC90, which is perfect for us at this point in our life. But whatever you look at, whether it's a new or previously enjoyed Volvo or a lease, Cherry Hill Volvo, they stand with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. They are a studio sponsor for a reason. They care about what we talk about. They care about us, and they want to make sure that we stay strong. And that means a lot to me, and it should mean a lot to you, too. Plus, the S-Class is made in America at their plant in South Carolina, and it could be yours at least 36 months for only $369 a month. So go there today. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is a big deal. Big, big deal. Big deal. We got a lot going on today. Holy cow. Holy cow. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Big show. I got some audio I want to play for you, which is really, really important. All right. President Trump speaking at a big rally in Pennsylvania. So this is him yesterday in Indiana, PA. I'm going to talk to David Urban about this rally at 5 o'clock today. But not far from here, the 4,000 person town of Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Charleroi has seen a 2,000% increase in the population of Haitian migrants. I'm telling you, this immigration thing, I know my buddy Johnny Cook on Twitter disagrees. I think this immigration thing is a big deal. I really do. I think it is. It matters. I think people are disgusted with the open borders. I think it's something that is now everywhere. And I just think it is a good issue. And I don't think it's distracting for Republicans at this moment in time right now. Cut number six.
And not far from here, the 4,000 person town of Charleroi. Do people? Oh, you know, Charleroi. In Charleroi, Pennsylvania, seen a 2,000% increase in the population of their town. Do you know that, right? They have all. Has your town changed slightly? Where are you from, Charleroi? Okay, good. I just took a picture with that handsome guy. So, would you say your town has changed just a little bit over the last couple of months? It's like, is it a different place? Totally different place? It's what? It's completely different. Where are the other people that started screaming about Charleroi? Where are they? Okay, has your beautiful town changed? Yes.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a real deal. It's a big deal. I want to play this clip for you as well. This Project 2025 nonsense, and I don't think this is a big attack. I don't think this is resonating. Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't think anybody understands what the hell they're talking about. They run these campaign ads about Project 2025, I don't get it. Honestly, really. And I mean, I follow politics. I live and breathe this stuff. And when I'm watching the game and I got people over the house and then the commercial comes on about Project 2025 and I just people that aren't political and I ask them, like, have you heard about this? They're like, no. What is it? I don't understand what it is. Like this scary, nefarious plan. I think Democrats are making a mistake with this. I really do. The problem is they just don't have anything else. They don't have anything but fear to run on. They can't run on their economic success and they can't go after Trump on anything on the economy. So they have to come up with this, conjure up this boogeyman, this Project 2025 thing. But I'm telling you, if you have to explain it, you're losing. And you have to explain this to people. Like, oh, Project 2025 is going to make you all handmaids. What's Project 2025? Well, it's this detailed blueprint of what an administration could do if they win a second term and institute the following things in the executive branch. But, hey, well, what? I don't understand what you just said. It's too heady. It's too complicated. It's too much. Attacks have to be something that's very, very face level. You can't go to people don't follow it. And I've said this for a while now. I think this stupid Project 2025 attack on him is dumb. I think it's a waste of money. I don't think it's effective in any way, shape, or form. If you are voting on abortion and you think Trump's going to take away abortion and you think that you're going to all be forced to give babies or have babies taken away, you decided who you're voting for months ago. It's stupid. If you're an undecided voter right now at this point, Project 2025 isn't moving you, and you're not taking the time to understand what the hell it is. You just want to know one thing, and that is your grocery bill going to come down from $2,025? That's all you care about. Is my Costco bill going to be less than $2,025? Because I'm getting tired of this. But here's the Project 2025 author saying, I did not work with President Trump. Mandy Gunasekera, who served as EPA chief of staff during the Trump administration and authored part of the document, told Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin in an oversight hearing yesterday she did not work with Trump or his campaign. Cut 14.
I have a prepared opening statement that I'll get into in just a second, but Ranking Member Raskin, you reiterated and have created a boogeyman that just isn't there. I did author the EPA chapter on Project 2025, but in the course of that, I did not work with President Trump, with any of the people who work for him directly, or his campaign. And it is very misleading to suggest that there's any coordination there, because I can personally tell you it did not happen. And I am not vying for a position in the next administration. I've actually left D.C. and I've moved to a small town in Mississippi where I interact every day with people who live outside this bubble of gaslighting and misleading. And they actually are dealing with the consequences caused by policy decisions of this administration that isn't defined by progress, but defined by creating unnecessary hardship.
Yeah, but it's stupid, too. Like, you know what I would say if I was at that hearing? I'd be like, you people are idiots for making this a campaign attack point. Like, it's just dumb. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. You got to make your attacks easy for people to understand. Nobody understands what you're talking about. That's what I would say if I were sitting there. Like, if she turned the microphone and said, I'd like to have my colleague, Mr. Scioli, speak. Like, thank you for the opportunity. Congressman, you people are idiots for using this as your attack. You think anybody knows what the hell Project 2025 is? No. And what do you think? They're Googling it? They're sitting home going, ooh, Project 2025, scary, boogeyman. It's so stupid. I'm telling you. It's 900 pages. No one's read it. She hasn't even read it. She wrote it. She didn't even read it. You ever write a paper and you don't even know what you wrote? Like, there's a joke about Stephen King writing a novel, and they're like, what is it about? And he goes, it's about a dog who eats a fish, and he doesn't even know what he's... Nobody read Project 2025. No, I guarantee it. So now there's a, ooh, Project 2025. What is it going to do? Well, it's going to make you have to... You're going to bad things, bad, scary things. All right. And can you show me like an example of this? Yes. Here's a PDF of page 477 of Project 2025, where you can see clearly how postal workers and other executive branch employees may lose civil service protections. And what? No, this is dumb. That's what I'd say. Like, you guys are idiots for making this your attack. You got nothing. You got nothing. You got nothing. That's what I'd say. But that's why I'm not part of the Heritage Foundation, because I clearly would not make it with those distinguished colleagues there who know how to conduct themselves with decorum. I'd be like, you people are morons. Yeah. You want to know what Project 2025 is? You open it up. Page one, you're morons. Page two, you're dumbasses. Page three, you're imbeciles. Page four, I can't believe you're still talking about Project 2025. Page five, you idiots are still talking about this? I would just keep flipping that and reading that until I ran out of time. Page six. I can't believe you idiots who have your head so far up your you-know-whats, you're still saying Project 2025. Page 758. No one gives a damn about Project 2025. Page 757. The mom who just paid $8 for eggs doesn't care what's on page 762 of this. Page 912. You people are the biggest idiots I've ever seen since the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they were a bunch of morons. You people make those morons look smart. Bring back Robbie Mook. Page 932. What kind of a grown man goes by Robbie? Page 100. I would just keep doing that the whole time.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.